السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue on the attributes of the Sahaba. They don't have speakers back there. Inshallah, on the attributes of the Sahaba and learn the lifestyle of the Sahaba, the history of the Sahaba, the role model for this Ummah. So we can inquire about these attributes and Jazakallah khair, akramakallah, and incorporate their lifestyle, their way of life into our actions. They were just making an example for us and be witnesses upon us that the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is feasible to live with. It's not only an ideal situation, something that only people that have ideals can live with. These are actually the people that showed us that this is what Islam is about. This is how you actually should live your life, and that's why they were the best of generation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير القرن قرني هذا. The best of generation is the generation that I am in, which is basically the generation of the Sahaba al-Kiram radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And of the attributes of the Sahaba, inshallah, we will try to touch on two important attributes tonight, inshallah, if we have time. And one of these attributes is the attribute of al-Sabr. And the second one is the attribute of al-Tawada. Al-Sabr can be translated into patience, but it also means endurance and perseverance. It means to tolerate a difficult condition, accept it, make the best of it, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reward of it. The Muslim ummah and the Muslim individuals are always afflicted with calamities, with problems, and we should not ever think that this is a current situation or a new situation for the Muslim Ummah. It has always been afflicted with that. And on individual levels, we also are afflicted with calamities. We are afflicted with diseases. We are afflicted with disasters in our life, catastrophes, loss of property, loss of life, loss of children. And we will see how the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim dealt with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined upon this ummah to be persevering, to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O who you believe, اصبروا وصابروا, be patient and be perseverant and endure. ورابطوا, and steadfast. واتقوا الله, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may be successful. And in the advices of Luqman, in Surah Luqman, in the Quran, he said, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. He is enjoining upon his son and giving him the recommendation, his will. He said, stand for prayer, enjoin the good, order the good deeds, and prevent vice or bad deed. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, and be patient, persevere for what would afflict you. Meaning that this life will be filled with affliction, and it is the nature of life. This life is made not to be perfect. It's made to break our heart. It is made to be a house of difficulties, house of sadness, And the hereafter for the believers is the house of happiness and the house of rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The hereafter is the true life, is the life for the believers. This is just the test. تبارك الذي بيده الملك تبارك الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life, this life and death, so we'd be tested who is the better doer. And there are types of patience, as the scholars of this ummah said. There are different types of sabr. There's different types of endurance. There's different type of perseverance. Number one, as-sabr ala ta'a. And number two, we will say that in Arabic first and then in English. As-sabr ala ta'a. Was-sabr ala al-ma'siyah. Was-sabr ala al-masa'ib. First, there is patience for obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Endurance upon obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second type is patience and endurance not to fall into sin. And the third is to be patient when a calamity or an affliction hit the human being. As-sabr ala ta'a is mentioned in the Quran, to be patient and endure in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended this to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. It says, endure yourself, be patient yourself with those who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and day and night, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as-sabr ala al-ma'siyah, to be patient against the sin, meaning to endure the temptation, to be resistant to the temptation of sin. Sin is beautified. In the hadith, the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created al-jannah, created paradise, he asked Jibreel to go and see it, check it out. And as Jibreel checked out the pleasures of paradise, he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, I don't think anybody who would hear of this Jannah would not come to it, would not do enough to be in the Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put around the Jannah the hard things, all the things that human being has to suffer, has to endure. حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. The things that people have to do to get into Jannah. The things, the difficult things. And then Jibreel said, خَشِيتُ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا أَحَدٍ. I'm afraid that nobody can get there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created hellfire and he showed it to Jibreel. And Jibreel said, anybody who would hear of it cannot go into it, would flee from it, would do anything not to be afflicted by the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jahannam. And then it was surrounded with desires and temptation. حُفَّتِ الْجَهَنَّمُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The hellfire was surrounded, was put all around it, is all these desires, the temptation. So people go to fulfill their desires and fall in the pit of the hellfire. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So the sabr, to be patient and endurant, not to fall into this temptation. And the third type of sabr, the third type of patience, is to be patient and satisfied and pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, even in a time of a calamity. Even if it's a time when someone or some group of people is afflicted by a calamity or adversity or a catastrophe, and know that it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 155 said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that beautiful verse, He said, we will test you. You will be afflicted with some fear, insecurity, والجوع, and some hunger, some famine. ونقص من الأموال, and lack of money, lack of resources. والأنفس, and lack of life. You'll be afflicted with loss of life. والثمرات, and the fruits, and the harvest. وبشر الصابرين, but give the glad tidings for those who endure, those who have patience in the face of that test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this scenario here. Said, you will be tested. Here's what the test is going to be about. And those who will succeed in this test are those who have sabr. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When they are afflicted with these catastrophes, they will say, we are to Allah, and our return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Those will have ceaseless blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَحْمَةٌ and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those are the ones who are guided. Some of the things that help the believer to achieve the state of patience, the state of sabr, are at-taqwa. To have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have at-taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Those who have taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out of the difficult and the hard situation that they are in. And the other thing is the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the example of that is the Prophet Yunus, when he was hit with the calamity and he was swallowed by the whale, and as he's in the stomach of that whale, he started making tasbih, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, falawla annahu kana min al-musabbihin la labitha fi batnihi ila yawmi yub'athun. If it's not for his tasbih, if it's not for his mentioning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that calamity would have stayed for him to the day of judgment, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And the other thing is al-istighfar, is to ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally is ad-du'a, is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift the calamity and lift the adversity, and to help the believer, help the mu'min to endure and be patient. Sometimes patience is not already in there, but we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the help to be able to endure these tests. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the help to be able to stand the calamity, to stand the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for us. And that's how the Sahaba saw this test and lived this test. And being armed with these concepts that we just mentioned, being armed with this belief, the deep, strong belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were able to achieve the station of endurance. They were able to achieve the station of sabr and that status. And the best example for them with that was living among them was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is narrated in Ibn Majah and also in Al-Bayhaqi, that Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill. He had a disease, he had some sickness, and he had fever. And Abu Sa'id put his hand on the garment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and felt the heat of the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, ما أشد حماك يا رسول الله, how high is your fever, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He felt so sad for the situation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, this fever is way too high. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna kadhalika," meaning we are the prophets, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "yushaddadu alayna al-bala." We are, our calamity is actually more severe. The test for the Prophet is more severe. We don't think the prophets are isolated from this test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his servants and he tests his prophets as well. And he said, we have a more severe calamity, a more severe test. وَيُضَاعَفُ لَنَا الْأَجْرَ, and we have more reward when we endure this calamity. And then Abu Sa'id said, Ya Rasulallah, مَنْ أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً. Who are the people that are tested the worst? Who are people that are hit the most with such a hard test? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الأنبياء, the prophets. the prophets are actually the ones that are tested the hardest among people. And then Abu Sa'id said, "Thumma man?" Who, then who? And then he said, "Al-ulama," the scholars, the people that know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people that know the matters, those are people that are hit also with calamity, with endurance. The higher the level the person will be, the higher the test is. See, this paradise doesn't come cheap. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَمْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you think you can enter to paradise? And the example of those before you did not afflict you? They were hit with calamity and adversity until even the Prophet and those who believed with him, they would say, when is this going to be over? مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the support of Allah? Where is the help of Allah? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the support and the help and the victory from Allah is close. So this Jannah, this paradise that we inshallah all will be in and hope for, doesn't come cheap, doesn't come easy. We have to do something, we have to endure, we have to persevere inshallah to get there. And he said, ثُمَّ مَنْ, he said the scholars. ثُمَّ مَنْ, then who? He said, الصَّالِحُونَ, the righteous people, the people of righteousness, the good people, they will be hit with calamity. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. O Rasulullah, I love you. I أحبُّكَ يا رسول الله. And he said, أبشر بالبلاء. Let me tell you, you will be hit with a calamity. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet, he said, you will be tested. If you are offering it, and it's fair. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate those who love him and love his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I claim, for example, that I am the best driver in the world, I say, just show me. At least, get me on the round here for a couple of times. If I claim I'm the best mountain climber in the world, he said, okay, well, just go and see how you do it. And if we claim that we are deserving of the Jannah, we are deserving of paradise, and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough, and we have this faith in our heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply will test that to show us if we're worthy or not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But sometimes we don't know. We think that we have a higher degree or we have stronger faith than we actually do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us those calamities, send us those tests to show us, and sometimes to elevate us, to elevate our station by proving that we inshallah be able to endure these. And the Prophet ﷺ said about the people before us, he said, كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ يُبْتَلَى بِالْقَمْلِ حَتَّى يَقْتُلُ. Some of them will be hit with the calamity like the skin diseases in lice until they are dead from it. وَيُبْتَلَى أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْفَقْرِ حَتَّى لَا يَجِدْ إِلَّا الْعَبَاءَةَ يَلْبَسُهَا. And some of them will be hit with poverty. Be poor. They find nothing but their cover, what they'll cover their body. Not something but the one garment that will cover their body. وَلَأَحَدُهُمْ كَانَ أَشَدَّ فَرَحًا بِالْبَلَاءِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِالْعَطَاءِ. And he said, one of them, and those people before you, they love the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than you love, they love the calamity more than you love the prosperity and the good times. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu alayhim ajma'een understood that, and that was very important the whole time actually for their da'wah and for Islam, but it was most important in the very early days. Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified as as-sabiqoon, those are in the forefront. The one that have a special station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise. They had to endure the worst. There were few Muslims in Mecca, as we studied during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those Muslims, unanimously, with no exception, had to be subjected to persecution. They had, all of them were beaten up. All of them were tortured and tormented. Even the noble people of them, even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, even Umar ibn al-Khattab, we saw how it's Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and who would torment them, who would afflict them with the torture, it's their own families many times. We saw how Mus'ab ibn Umair, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, they were tormented by their own mothers because of their following to this religion. Al-Zubair ibn al-Awwam, he was tormented by his uncle. And everyone will go, his family will take him and torment him. We know how Bilal ibn Rabah, Bilal, the Abyssinian slave of Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and he rejected the idols, and all he knew about Islam is one word, Ahadun Ahad, that he is one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And for that he would be taken and be whipped in the heat of the desert. And then they will put a hard heated rock on his body so he can be grilled in the heat of the sand of Arabia. And he continues to say, Ahadun Ahad. Ammar ibn Yasir, رضي الله عنه وعن أبي وعن أمه. The whole family of Yasir were taken by Abu Jahl, and they were tormented, and he killed his mother, the mother of Ammar, in front of his eyes, for refusing to curse Islam and for refusing to praise the idols. Then Yasir himself was killed, and all of that in front of the eyes of Ammar ibn Yasir. These Sahaba had to endure. If they don't have the strong values, it's not easy to really stand that test. If they don't have that deep belief in their heart. Khabbab bin al-Arad came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and showed him his back, and his back was burned beyond recognition, because the way that Khabbab was a very weak man. And he was a poor man in Quraysh. And he had no protection. And they did whatever they need to do with Khabbab. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ and his back was burned so severely, because that's how they tortured Khabbab. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana? Won't you pray for us so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would lift this calamity? But the Prophet ﷺ could have prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rule Quraysh. And we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many opportunities to ruin the whole entire city of Mecca and of Ta'if when they mistreated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach his Sahaba a lesson, his companion a lesson that would be with them and be with this ummah forever. And that is the lesson of endurance, the lesson of sabr. So he told Khabbab, he said, the people before you, they would be brought before their tormentors, and they would be sawn into two halves in a hole in the ground, and that will not change their belief, not one bit. That their faith will not be shaken if they're sawn into two halves alive in a hole in the ground. And then he told Khabbab, he gave him the glad tidings. He said, this religion will be there. This religion will be high. It is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this religion will be victorious. He said, but don't rush it. Don't hasten. He said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you rush this. You hasten. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own schedule. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. The human being wants to rush things. Want things immediately. We want instant gratification. We raise our hands with dua, we want the response before our hands go down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different way. And has a different calendar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't turn the dua down from a believer who is sincere in their dua. And then that did not end. And the sahaba had to endure a different type of a calamity. And subhanallah, every time we read the life of the Sahaba, well, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we see that they had to go through all types of changes. And it's like an example for all of us. So whatever happened to this ummah later on, we can always go back and find the reference of what happened to them. There was actually an embargo, there were sanctions on the Sahaba in Mecca. And they had a siege. There was a siege on the Sahaba in a valley, in a fork of a valley called the Valley of Abu Talib, because that's where Abu Talib and his people were. And they were locked in into that valley. And no trade was allowed with them. No trade doesn't always mean that you can't make money. You cannot buy food. You cannot buy food in Mecca if you are a Muslim. You cannot marry in Mecca if you are a Muslim. You cannot sell goods in Mecca if you are a Muslim. And they were hit with famine. They were hungry. And the Sahaba described how all of them had to eat the leaves off the trees. And even one of the Sahaba described how he saw a dry skin of an animal. Dead animal, dry skin of a dead animal. And he took it, and that was his meal. That's the only thing they could find to eat. They were hit with that embargo for 3 years in the history of the da'wah, of this early da'wah. And they endured it. And none of them, not one of them, went back to Mecca and he said, I'm not a Muslim anymore, sell me some food. Not one of them, not one, went back from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they all became an example. All this first generation, the sabiqoon, the forefront people, all of them became the greatest example for their endurance during 13 years of the Meccan period. But the test wasn't over. The test got even harder because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to leave their homes and leave their properties and leave their families and go on a journey of emigration from Mecca to Medina, and before that from Mecca to Al-Habasha, to Abyssinia. And leaving home is not an easy thing. Leaving for immigration, leaving everything behind. Do you remember when Abu Bakr left? He left even his family, his home behind. When Suhayb al-Rumi, Suhayb ibn Sinan, last session, when he had to leave Mecca and he was caught on the way, he gave the Quraysh all his property. He was a wealthy man in Mecca. He gave them everything he has. And he went to Medina with one thing, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. He had nothing else with him. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, he had about 5 dirham. He was a very wealthy man from a very wealthy family. And he left it all behind. And all these people went to Medina with nothing. But La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And those who took some money with them put it all in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here comes the test of endurance, the test of immigration, and the test of giving, and the test of sharing that came to the Ansar. And we saw how the Ansar responded generously into that test, and how they shared everything with their brothers. Even the Ansari that hosted Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had 2 wives that he offered them. He said, I will divorce one for you, and I will divorce the one you choose. They wanted to share everything with them. He said, I'll give you half of my wealth, half of my house, and you can take half of my family. I mean, this is a very high degree of understanding that test of endurance. And then the verse came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to those who have been oppressed, to those who have been fought against, that they have been wronged, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make them victorious. And that was the permission of jihad. Permission of taking arms against your oppressor. A permission to take self-defense into your hand. And then they had to endure the test of Badr. And they had to endure the test of Uhud. And immediately after the disaster of Uhud, they were enduring a small battle called Hamra al-Asad, when they had to immediately leave after Uhud, chasing the actually victorious Qurayshi army, chasing them out of the outskirts of Medina. And then came the siege of Al-Ahzab, a very harsh test for the Sahaba. When 10,000 fighters came and surrounded Medina, and the trench was dug to protect Medina, And then they relied on the promises of Qurayza, the Jewish tribes in the south, to protect their back. And they were fighting Al-Ahzab up front. And then what happened? The treachery of Qurayza. The treachery of Qurayza that opened the backs of Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that moment when the Muslims felt like they were gone, that this is over. That the Quraysh and Ghatafan up front, and Qurayza is opening their backs, that their hearts were in their throats out of fear. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبِ الْحَنَاجَةِ That their hearts were in their throats. So what do? They will flee? Do they say, okay, well, we're going to give up this deen? We're going to give up this da'wah? They endured. And they had the sabr. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ Allah is enough for us. Allah is enough for us. And He is the best to rely on. And then they had to endure some of the worst catastrophes by losing their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, it was a very, very harsh test. It was a test that Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now, if you're talking about a strong man with a strong character and a strong will, that is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now, even Umar ibn al-Khattab could not tolerate that test. And for a while he said, no, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't die. And then comes Abu Bakr. And they said, those who worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then let them know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead. He passed. But those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let them know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not die. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And then they had to deal with all the events that followed the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where entire Arabia, the entire peninsula, except for the city of Medina and the city of Mecca, rebelled against them. Everything turned around. All the tables were turned immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had to go out and fight it all over again. And do it all over again. And they almost lost their entire army in the Battle of Al-Yamama. 1,000 of the people that actually have the Qur'an of the Sahaba were killed. And many others in that one battle. And they were almost defeated 3 times in that one battle of Al-Yamama. And they endured. And they kept on. And immediately after they went home and they established a religion in Arabia, Abu Bakr said, it's not over. There is a threat up north of Persia and Byzantium. And you have to go and defend Islam and spread Islam. And they went on. The life of this people was an ongoing, continue. I mean, we're just reciting here, we're just saying how just one stage after the other. When did these people rest and enjoy life? You tell me. When did they say, this is time to retire? Never. Never. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he kept in spreading Islam until he was 90 to 93 years old according to the scholars. And he is buried now in Istanbul. Because he went with the Muslim army in his 90s to spread Islam. And he died there at the walls of Constantinople. And he was buried there. Constantinople was not conquered. And he died in the siege, in that first siege of that city. These were the Sahaba. They dedicated their entire life from the day they said La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, to the day they said La ilaha illallah in front of the angel of death, Muhammad Rasulullah. This entire life was dedicated to Islam. And anything that happened to them, they endured. Any calamity that hit them, they endured it. Poverty, loss of life, loss of children, loss of anything was not an issue. Because it's all to Allah and it's all going back to Allah. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This word that we say, they understood actually what it means. It's all from Allah, including this body, including this life, And it's all going back to Allah. And it's all dedicated to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to put our lives in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say we are abidullah, we are the slaves of Allah. They actually did it. They actually dedicated their life, all their actions, into the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on their path and to let us follow their example. So, some of the stories of endurance and being patient on a calamity is what is reported when the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were faced with the death of somebody that is dear to them. And that is the worst catastrophe. That is the worst problem, is when you lose someone you love. The loss of a loved one. And one of the things that the scholars narrate is when the Prophet ﷺ lost, now the Prophet ﷺ had 7 children, had 4 daughters and 3 sons. And all of them, except Fatima, died in their life. Now, for a family, there is no harder test, brothers and sisters, than losing a child. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give endurance and patience for those who have, and to save us from that calamity, because we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a catastrophe to show endurance. سَأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safety, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala good health. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested with 6 of his children. He buried 6 out of 7 in his life. And one time, his youngest one, Ibrahim, he was the son of Maria, the Coptic, the Egyptian, radiallahu anha. Ibrahim was sick and he was dying in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is narrated upon Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anha. And he said, رَأَيْتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَهُوَ يَكِيدُ بِنَفْسِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. I saw Ibrahim dying in the hands of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's his son dying in his hands, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَدَمَعَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And so the eyes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم teared up. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تَدْمَعُ الْعَيْنِ وَيَحْزَنُ الْقَلْبِ. Indeed, the eye can be teary. And the heart is saddened. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا. And we will not say anything that will not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not object. We will not say, why? Why me? Why my son? Why, I'm your prophet. Said, لَا نَقُولُ مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا. We will not say anything that will not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بِكَ لَمَحْزُونِينَ. But we are indeed sad, because you're departing us, Ibrahim. But this is the example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his Sahaba. One of the stories of being having this patience and endurance is what happened to a woman in the Battle of Badr. This woman had her son Haritha. And Haritha was one, there was a very young man who came out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's one of the Ansar. And he went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Badr. And he was one of the people, one of the lookouts. One of the people that his job was to look out and scan and survey the battlefield. And as he was doing that, and even before the battle started, an arrow came from they didn't even know where and hit Haritha and killed him. So his mother was actually with the army, coming out with the army. And she ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her son is dead, right there. And this is one of the first people that are actually killed even before the battle started. And she said, Ya Rasulallah, akhbirni an Haritha. In kana fil jannati sabart, wa illa falarayanna allaha ma asma. He said, tell me about Haritha. If he is in paradise, then I will have sabr. I will be patient. Otherwise, I will show Allah what I can do. I will show Allah how well I can cry. Or she's very saddened. She's very hurt by seeing the body of her son. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wayhaki ahabilt? Ahiya jannatan wahida?" He said, did you lose your mind? Do you think it's one paradise? Do you think it's one jannah that he is in now? He said, "Innaha jinan." It is multiple. It's plural. And in one narration, it's eight. And he said, "وَإِنَّ ابْنَكِ أَصَابَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى." And your son is in the highest paradise, in Firdaus. Is in the highest station of paradise. And in the narration said, "رَجَعَتْ وَهِيَ تَضْحَكْ." She went back and she was smiling. And she said, "بَخِنْ بَخِنْ يَا حَارِثَ." Oh, you lucky Haritha. She was happy for her son that died right there because she knew where he was. And one of the story about being patient and have the faith when a calamity like this happened is a story that we narrated before about Ummu Salim and Abu Talha. Now Ummu Salim used to be married to the father of Malik ibn Anas. She is the mother of Anas ibn Malik. She is the mother of Anas ibn Malik. But Anas ibn Malik's father died and he was not a Muslim. So Abu Talha, who was not a Muslim, came to Ummu Salim and asked her hand in marriage. But she was a Muslim and he was not. So he came to her and she said, "No, I will not marry you because you are not a Muslim." And he said, "Well, your dowry is gold and silver. What I'm offering you is gold and silver for marriage, and you have children. You need that." And she said, "I will not marry you as long as you are a kafir." He said, "So what do you need to do?" And he said, "You go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you become a Muslim. And that will be my dowry. That will be my mahr." And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw him, he said, "I see in his face Islam." He actually had the faith in his face coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Ummu Salim to Abu Talha, and her mahr was Islam, was La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they were given a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with a son. And one time, the son became very ill, became very feverish. And Abu Talha loved his son so much, and he was very worried about his son. And he would make sure that his son is getting the best care. And one time he left the house, and his son died in his absence. And then he came back to the house. And he saw his wife in her best garments, in her best appearance. And he didn't feel like something was wrong in the house. And he said, "مَا صَنَعَ الصَّبِي?" What happened with the son? What happened with the boy? He wants to make sure. And she said, "خَيْرَ مَا كَانَ." He's doing well. He is resting well. And he was resting very well. He was dead. And then she brought him dinner. And they ate dinner. And she let them rest. And then after that she said, "Abu Talha, Ya Abu Talha, عَارِيَةٌ اسْتَعَارَهَا قَوْمٌ وَكَانَتِ الْعَارِيَةُ عِنْدَهُمَّا قَضَى اللَّهُ." I want to tell you about something. He said, some people borrowed something from others. And they kept this borrowed item for a long time. And then the people lend them that thing. وَإِنَّ أَهْلَ الْعَارِيَةِ أَرْسَلُوا إِلَى عَارِيَتِهِمْ. They sent asking for what they own. They sent asking for what they have. فَقَبَبُهَا. And they took it. أَلَهُمْ أَنْ يَجْزَعُوا. Those people who borrowed this, should they be saddened when they return it back? And he said, "No. This is not theirs in the first place. It was something in their custody for a while, but it's not theirs." And then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ اسْتَرَدَّ عَارِيَتَهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took back what he has given us. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him what happened. This is what Ummu Salim did. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ لَقَدْ قَذَفَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي رَحِيمِهَا ذَكَرًا لِصَبْرِهَا عَلَى وَلَدِهَا. He said, for her patience of her losing her son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send her another son. and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed in their offsprings. And one of the scholars said, in their offsprings there were 9 children, 9 sons, all of them memorized the Qur'an. All of them were hafaz al-Qur'an because of as a reward for her endurance and her patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended patience and endurance, and the Sahaba understood the concept and lived the concept. And if not for that, they would not be able to actually deliver the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the earth. They would not be able to conquer the 2 major superpowers that were existing in their time. They went to the end of the earth, endured all the separation from their family, endured the hardship of spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, endured all the calamities that come with that in the name of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And that is the example that we take of the life of the Sahaba. And that is one of the attributes of the Sahaba radwanullah alayhi. If there's any comment about this, inshallah, you go ahead, and otherwise we'll go to the second attribute of today, inshallah. The second attribute of the Sahaba that we will, inshallah, study tonight is at-tawadu, humbleness. Humbleness among the Sahaba is to understand the sin of not being humble, to understand how big of a problem in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person, for a human being that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be arrogant, to be boastful. For a human being to think that they own their own destiny and they control their own destiny, and not to give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In al-hadith al-Qudsi, in a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the name of Allah subhanahu, on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى قال الله تبارك وتعالى الكبرياء ردائي والعظمة إزاري ممن نازعني واحدا منهما قذفته في النار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pride is my garment and greatness is my belt. Those who want to take any one of them from me, they will be thrown in the hellfire. Pride is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a human being cannot be arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us in details what was the very first sin, what was the beginning of all sins, is the sin of pride, the sin of arrogance. How did that happen? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And Iblis, a shaitan, Satan, was with the group of angels. And scholars say he was the chief of the group of angels. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bow down, to prostrate in greeting to Adam alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا. As we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, so they prostrated. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, except Iblis. أَبَى, refused. Was takbar. He had proud. He was proud. He was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he was one of the rejectors. قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِنْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what prevented you from prostrating and I am ordering you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a direct order for this slave of his to prostrate. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهِ, said, I am better than him. That is the arrogance. That is the greatest sin that started the sin of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The root of disobedience of Iblis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with, I am better than him. That's why many of the Muslims, they said, when they say I or Ana, said, I hear it a lot in the Middle East, he said, أعوذ بالله من أنا, I take refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from I. Because this I is what brought to Iblis who he is. Look at me. أنا خير من, I am better than him. خلقتني من نار, you created me out of fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ And you created him from mud. Said, I am better than him. How can I prostrate to him? And that is the pride that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. Not to be proud of your religion, not to be, you know, proud of your achievement in a way, but to be arrogant, to be boastful, to feel like you're actually better because of that. If we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, let's say, physical strength, we feel like we're better than the weak people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us wealth, we feel like we are better than the poor people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to acquire knowledge or the means to acquire knowledge, we feel like we're actually better than other people. And who is better and who is not, is according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, is all about taqwa. لا فضل لعربي على أعجمي ولا أبيض على أسود إلا بالتقوى. Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no preference, there is no favor, there is no advance, and there is no advantage for an Arab over a non-Arab, or a white over a black, except with taqwa. And who can scale the taqwa? Who can say Ahmed has more taqwa than Muhammad? It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the taqwa is in the heart. Who can see the heart? Who can see what's inside? It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no person, no slave of Allah can say, I am better than that other slave for whatever reason. For whatever reason. Imam Ahmed said, every time I see a human being, I think they're better than me. Even if they were non-Muslims. And they said, how is that, Imam? I mean, Muslims are better than non-Muslims. He said, I don't know. Maybe I, at the end of my life, I will turn around. And they will become Muslims. When we die, he will be better than me. So he never looked down to anyone. Never looked down to anyone. And this is really an essential message in Islam. You don't look down at anybody. No matter what the social, the economic, anything situation. If we feel like we're looking down on anyone, we have to review Iman from the beginning. We have to review our faith. And this disease of arrogance, this disease of kibr can show itself in three things. In the heart, people actually feel, they convince themselves they're actually better than others, or at least some others. And the other thing, it shows in the acts. It shows in their actions. Sometimes you can feel people try not to mingle with a certain group because they feel like they're better than them. Not to accept things from certain people because they feel like they're better than them. Or the way they talk to people. Or the gestures. Sometimes a little gesture can convey a message that I'm better than you. It's a statement. And sometimes the way they talk down to people. And subhanAllah, we're in a society that we see a lot of that. And I'm not talking among Muslims only. Inshallah will not happen among Muslims. But we see that in the community at large. This is a society that puts a lot of value into materialism. If you have more, you are worth more, then you are better than others. And if you have higher degrees, then you're better than others. If you're the boss, then you're better than the bossee. The employee. And this is an Islam doesn't exist. Even in a commander and a follower situation, they're both, they feel like they're equal, but they have a right of obedience because of their leadership position. Nothing more, nothing less. It doesn't mean that who the leader is better than the one that is following. And there's examples of that. There's definite examples of that. That Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was being led in expeditions by many other Sahaba. And we know he was he is the best Sahaba. He is the next, is number two among the Sahaba after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the last expedition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, he sent Abu Bakr and Umar as soldiers in the army of Hussein. There's no better and best. They're all equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined even upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be humble. وَخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his prophet, lower your wing. Lower your wing in Arabic is a picture of speech that means you have to be humble. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to you, when we treat our parents, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ Lower the wing of humility out of mercy to your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the same commands to his own prophet. He said, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنْ تَبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And lower your wing for those who follow you out of the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see in his whole life, was so humble. But it's also a direct recommendation for us, for the rest of us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his Prophet, the best of creation, the best mannered man who ever walked the face of the earth, lower your wing. Be humble. So what is what the rest of us should do? And why should our wings be high to begin with? It's nothing higher in status than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, on the authority of Muslim, on the authority of Iyad ibn Himar, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَن تَوَاضَعُوا حَتَّى لَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَبْغِي أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me that you should be humble, that you humble yourself, so nobody can be proud over the other. No arrogance among Muslims. وَلَا يَبْغِي أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ So nobody can wrong others. If someone feels like he's better or she's better than the other person, then that is a setup so that person can do wrong things to the other person. That is the fact of the matter. And we see nations wronging other nations because they feel like they're better than them. That the other nations should be enslaved by them. That their resources should be dedicated for the benefit of the stronger nation, or the quote, better nation. And we saw what just the idea of one race be better than other races, what it did to the Nazi Germany. How they took the whole world into ruins. Millions upon millions died for that idea. That somebody is actually better than others because of some issue, because they were born like that. They were just born better. It's because they're just like that. But Muslims, we believe it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it. Even if it's the mind, the knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us Alzheimer's in no time. And give us stroke in no time. وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ If it's wealth, it can't go like that. Stock market can go down, and it did, no time. Right? Houses can burn, cars can crash. Ya'adhu billah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safety. But nobody can be arrogant of anything. That's why in Surah Al-Kahf, and I believe we started the tafsir on Friday, when a man came into his own garden and looked around and he liked what he saw, and he said, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَرِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I don't think this will come into ruins ever. His neighbor said, لَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ If you go into your own wealth, your own garden, if you're just boasting up, just say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ It is the will of Allah. Allah gave you that. لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ There is no strength except with Allah. Remember that this is the essence of faith. Everything we have, It's from Allah. And it goes back to Allah. That's why when a calamity hits, we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ It's nothing to worry about. It's all from Allah and it went back to Allah. And that's it. It's the end of story. Muslim narrated on the authority of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَّا وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٌ وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَ Very beautiful hadith. It goes about three actions of human beings. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ Charity cannot decrease your wealth. No matter how much you give in charity, your wealth will not be decreased. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. So be generous, don't worry about it. It will be replaced. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ It's a promise from the Prophet ﷺ. If we have faith in his words, then we have no problem. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. And when someone forgives another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in his dignity and his station. It doesn't lower if you forgive others. If somebody was wronged by other, forgive them. It doesn't decrease your stature, it doesn't decrease your status. And then the third thing, مَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَ. There is not one person, one human being that humbled himself or herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them, will increase their status. So people that trying to feel more important by being arrogant, they're doing the opposite, exactly opposite to themselves. And those who wants to be elevated, humble themselves to Allah. Humble themselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, we ran out of time before I even started into the stories of the Sahaba about humbleness. So inshallah, we will have to continue in some other time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were the example of humbleness. And it shows in their words and their actions. And one time a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and started trembling out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this haybah, this presence. And the man was shaken by the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hawwin alayka ya akhi, take it easy, my brother. Ana ibn rumra'atin min Quraysh kanat ta'kul al-qadid. I am a son of a woman in Quraysh that used to eat the meat jerkies, the dried meat." He said, "I'm just like a human being like you are." And he is the Prophet, he is the best of creation. And Abu Bakr, when he was given the Khilafah, he stood up on the minbar and he said, "Ayyuhan nas, wulitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum. All you people, I was given authority over you, but I'm not the best of you." He was the best of them. There's no doubt he was the best of them. But this is the humbleness of the Prophet and the Sahaba. Umar radiallahu an used to ride on the donkey and even walk beside his servant when the servant was riding on a donkey. And that's how he walked into Jerusalem when he was conquering Jerusalem, when he was given the keys of Jerusalem. He was the walker and the servant was on the donkey. And he would ride on a donkey, not on the most beautiful horses. This is the humbleness of the Sahaba. There are many stories, subhanAllah, I thought we could cover, but we ran out of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the gifts of endurance and humbleness. Subhanaka rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.